Hello, it's Lee Salisbury here. It's Friday. It's time for another edition of Soap from the Box, the TV behind-the-scenes podcast where I speak to some of the biggest stars from the biggest shows. This week, a massive star of Coronation Street who had everyone on the cobbles shaking in their boots. Enjoy. My guest today is my first solo American actor to be born on the show. I say American, he's from America. Of course, we had the whole cast of Netflix's Kaleidoscope 2 seasons ago. Listen to that after this. In 1980, my guest's career took off as he joined the Restless Years. And in 1989, and this I'm very excited to speak about, he played opposite Kylie Minogue in her film debut, The Delinquents. Just two of many highlights before he became known to millions in the UK as the very bad man, Stephen Reed in Coronation Street. He is currently on tour with season one guest, the amazing Neil McDermott, in Bill Kenwright's production of Sleuth. So much to talk about, so we better get investigating ourselves. It's a pleasure to welcome Todd Boyce. Hello, Todd.
Ah, Lee, what a lovely introduction.
How are you?
I'm terrific. I'm really good. I'm just I'm in kind of rest and then perform mode, which is the most beautiful kind of lifestyle to slide into as an actor, because, you know, rehearsals are kind of fraught. And Sleuth, oh my goodness, I mean, I think my Andrew Wyke is the character I play in Sleuth is like, it's like learning the phone book, essentially. It's one of the largest parts in the English speaking language, and we only had 3 weeks to rehearse.
Oh, wow.
So
is
to
it just
finally
the two
get
of you in it?
I don't want to spoil anything. A few
characters.
look in along the way, but the heavy lifting is largely done by Neil and myself. So yeah, but it's a big night. It's about running 50 minutes the first half, and there's a 20-minute interval, and about 50 minutes, 49 minutes the second half. So it's a 2-hour affair starting at 7:30 every night. So we're really back in our dressing rooms by about just after 9:30 every night. Yeah.
Wow. That's a big, well, let's get to, we'll get to Sleuth. Let's just, first of all. And I have to start with the Kylie film, which I didn't realize you were in. You played Lyle in 1989. I mean, I talk about that because the hype around that was huge, wasn't it? Because it was Kylie's first film.
It was, I remember I actually moved here just by coincidence around the a couple of months before it was released. And then we had this, it was a big Warner Brothers film. So we had this big red carpet affair in Leicester Square and kind of limos dropping us off. And it was a really wonderful, memorable first night, as it were. And then we had a big party in a great venue down Tottenham Court Road somewhere. And I said to my friends, these were my dancing days when I was, you know, clubbing and soaking up wonderful nightlife in London. And Kylie, very wonderfully, I mean, I said to my friends, there's no such thing as a dance floor with Kylie. Kylie would dance where she was standing. You know, she wasn't going to walk to the dance floor and stand.
Yeah.
So she was so magnetic and so gorgeous and so charming. And she was great to work with. Probably we finished filming probably about 6 months before the film was released. So yeah, no, it was a great experience. And it was a good film to do.
And obviously filmed in Australia, and that's where you spent most of your early career, isn't it? In Australia.
I did. I think I turned 16 in Australia. Before that, I lived in Brazil for 4 years in São Paulo.
Oh, wow.
Brazil. My father's sort of corporate career took us around the world. Me, my mom, dad, and my two brothers. So, but my two brothers are 2 years and 4 years older than me. So they peeled off to America, and I moved to Australia with my parents. And then my middle brother came back to live in Australia. So, and the eldest brother was visiting every Christmas, of course, and every time he had a chance, because there ain't nothing wrong with visiting Sydney, Australia. You know,
no, so, what an amazing place!
Yeah, it's a great place. So I finished school there. In Brazil. I was wearing sandals and jeans, and you know, it was a co-ed school. And then I went to a kind of all boys school where I suddenly was wearing a grey flannel suit and a straw boater. It was quite a shock. And then, as I was, I think in my last year, I I pounded the pavements and I found myself an agent. I'd done acting classes when I was a kid and I was really interested in it. And I found an agent and she put me up for this school boy in his last year and the rest of his year. So I remained, I got the part, which is genius,
Which was,
just
for
before I
anyone
started
listening,
my son.
it was a huge show, wasn't it? The Restless Lear, the
It
Restless
was. It was
Years in
before
Australia.
Sons and Daughters and before Neighbours. So it was the same Grundy organization. And yeah, so I remained in my school uniform like so many kind of actors do, don't they? Who join soaps at a certain age. And then I auditioned for the National Institute of Dramatic Art. So it was invaluable, the television experience I got from Corrie. It was wonderful. But then I went and really trained properly at NIDA, it's called, and did that for 3 years, and then kind of took the rest of the years off my CV, I have to admit, because soaps weren't that sort of highly regarded at that point in my life. I mean, not like you. I would put Coronation Street at the very top of my CV these days, because I'm so deeply proud of my association with it. But yeah, so that was kind of the background to it. And then the 80s was really the kind of decade of the mini series, and I was in a lot of them, which was just fantastic. And one of them was called Fields of Fire, which showed over here. It was Zenith, a co-production with Zenith and an Australian production company in Sydney. So that was I was the lead in that for 12 hours of television, 3 summers running. We did
Amazing.
four hours in northern New South Wales, beautiful, all set around the cane fields. So it was idyllic sort of job, and it was a wonderful launch into kind of, it was a great way to come to London with that under my belt, and having been exposed on television. Yeah, with that lead role was great
And
launch pad for London.
how was it working in Australia? How is the industry kind of compared? By the way, The Delinquents was the 17th highest grossing film of that year when it was released, which is
Goodness, was
impressive.
it?
Yeah,
That's amazing.
1989. Yes.
Yeah, not
I know, very impressive.
bad.
But yeah,
Yeah.
how was how is I mean I've done some stuff for Neighbours, but I've done it over here. I haven't been over there. Is it the same kind
Is
of,
that
because
right?
obviously a much smaller country, is it how is it over there compared to working in America or here?
Do you know, it was, I filmed a series called Melba here in 1986. And by comparison, I mean, Australia was just thriving. It was really, a lot of American content was being made in Australia. So a lot of Hollywood films were being made in Sydney and in the Dino De Laurentiis studios in Queensland. So it was really thriving and really doing well. And it was off the wave of the new wave of Australian cinema, which was The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith and Picnic at Hanging Rock, and an extraordinary wave of great creativity, which happened in the sort of 70s, coming off the late 60s. So it was really, really thriving. Then I came to London, and it kind of just it started really snowballing here, and the energy was great in the industry here, and it kind of waned in Australia. So I kind of left, not intentionally, but I kind of left at a good time,
You
in
rode the
fact. Yeah,
wave,
but
yes.
I rode the wave. Yeah, but it was no, it's a great industry there, and it's funny because there's a huge number of people in Australian equity, actors equity, which you I mean per capita, the amount of actors in that country is very large. I think a
Yes.
lot of people want to be actors in that country, so it's extraordinary.
I know. I
And
remember Margot Robbie. I remember listening to an interview with Margot
yeah.
Robbie, who was saying that. I mean, have you heard her story? I love. Her story is amazing, that she was waitressing in a coffee shop and she actually overheard one of her customers say she was going to an audition for Neighbours. So she phoned and got herself one, and that was the beginning of her journey.
That is brilliant. That is
Yeah.
so Hollywood. Isn't that fantastic?
So Hollywood.
Yeah, I worked with Jason. Who do I worked with Jason Clarke. I think I did Everest with him recently. I think he was first involved. Maybe I'm getting this wrong. But so many actors just, would get a bundle of money or enough money to get themselves to Hollywood from Australia and just, be absorbed. And I think the training ground was extraordinary, because you've got actors who have done soap in Australia, and as you know, Lee, because you've directed soap, if you can do soap, we always say you can do
Do
just about
anything.
anything, really. You
Yes.
know what it's like. You've you've
Yeah.
you've you've I would love to have been directed by you, but you know what it's like. And so I think just the so many Australian actors like Margot would have just gone to LA, and they go, you know, they know their way around a film set, and they work quickly, and they're really good at film acting and
Yes.
directing themselves
Yeah.
and being directed. So yeah, it was a
I
great
think there's
country.
one of the big talent agencies. I'm not sure if it's CAA. I can't remember which one it is. That's actually quite a few years ago started a branch in Australia, basically just to sign up the soap stars there who they think are going to transfer to America. Because obviously a load of them have. It is just like
Amazing. Yeah.
it's kind of like a High School Musical kind of thing, isn't it? Neighbours and Home and Away are the training grounds, but.
It is really, isn't it? It's like the Glee Club
Yeah, it is. There's a series in
Hollywood.
that. But we'll move to Corey. We're going to come back to some of the other stuff. You said your CV's loads. I mean, you came in as Stephen Reed, the son of Audrey Roberts, who was given up for adoption at 16. I'd say Audrey Roberts because the amazing, I mean, what an amazing woman Sue is. I was so kind of in awe when I first met her. What was it? You arrived in
Oh man.
1996. I mean, what was it like joining
Yeah.
the Cobbles? Obviously, you had lived here, so you obviously knew the power of Corey, I'm sure.
I did. Do you know what I did? Because when I was living in Australia, it was enormous then. And I'd get home from school and I'd kind of do some homework or whatever, or, go swim in someone's swimming pool. You know, it's such a beautiful lifestyle in Sydney. And then have dinner, and then Coronation Street would be on, and Bette Lynch was behind the bar.
Yeah.
And so I would watch episodes of it because it was really well known then, and it still is in New Zealand. And so I was really, I mean, the Rovers, I knew inside out. I knew these characters too. So if I didn't know their names, I certainly knew their behaviors and their kind of
Yes.
idiosyncrasies. So that was a great kind of introduction. And then I came to live in London in June of 1989, and I was really kind of into EastEnders. I love EastEnders and I love Coronation Street, but I'd be watching EastEnders. Then I started getting into Corrie just about 6 months before I got the call to come and audition for it. So
Oh,
it was
right.
really amazing. I was already a fan, and I think that's true with so many, as you would know, having worked on Corrie, that you know these actors show up and you're just starstruck because you're in a green room
Yeah.
with people that you love watching, you know, and you're just it's you
It's
know,
a
and
bizarre
they're
thing,
very
isn't
warm and they're
it?
very
It's
welcome,
very different than saying seeing Judi
isn't it?
Dench or something. It's because these characters have lived. And again, to be honest, I wasn't a huge Corey fan when I was young. My nan and granddad used to have it on. So again, it's part of your soul anyway, because you kind of live and breathe it. But I think that's the difference with
That's it.
these characters that it's like meeting someone you know in real life and you don't know them. So it's kind of a little bit different than meeting a big, I don't know, it's a bizarre
It
thing
is. It
meeting
is
someone like Sue Nichols who played Audrey.
weird, isn't it? And they're in
Who
your
played
living room three
Audrey?
nights a week, and I mean, and she is amazing, isn't she? She's just so wonderful.
Oh, she's fabulous. Yeah. I mean, I was awestruck because she was in, oh, I've forgotten what she was in now when she played. This is a really interesting story, Lee. I can't remember what she was in. She was in a massive children's show that I used to be a massive fan of, which I can't remember the name of.
I know the name of it. Yeah, I can't think of the name of it either. We're gonna have to Google that.
Yeah, you know the one,
She
I
was
know.
talking about she was talking about it the other day. And
Let
a lot
me.
of my
I'm going
friends
to quickly
remember her
stop.
very
Sorry,
well
I'm
from
gonna.
it.
I hate getting things wrong, so I'm going to quickly look at what it
Yeah,
was,
go for it.
and I'll kid show. Rent-A-Coaster. There we go. I'll just say that.
Okay,
Yeah,
great, great, great.
I think I was really starstruck by her because I remember from Rent-A-Ghost when I was young, which is
Yes,
kid show.
brilliant.
But what was it
Exactly.
like, Joy? What was it like your first? Do you remember your first day? I mean, again, like we said, it's
I
part of
do.
everyone's soul. So it's a weird day when you first go, isn't it?
Is a weird day. And all I mean, all the big guns were there then, you know what I mean? And so it was just but it was very interesting. It was like a very welcoming, kind and warm place to be. And there was a, you know, the green room at Granada was a kind of sort of people coming in and out, going out, and there's traffic throughout the day. And there was like a sleepy little TV monitor in the corner, and you could tell when a scene was coming to an end, filming of a scene was coming to an end. Either okay, well, I'm on soon. Well, now, you know, it's like there's like four units, and you would
Yes.
have no clue when you're on next, unless you had an assistant director telling you know what I mean? But that was honestly, you'd watch the scene being filmed, and then you say, well, I think they're about finished with that. I think I better go and check my makeup is okay in makeup
And in
and
you go.
head into the studio. Yeah. So
And
it was a very
you said the big guns were there. There were, just to remind people, in 1986, Alma Baldwin was there. That was a big story with you. She become, we
Alma,
have
I had a lot with
Betty,
her.
Betty,
Deirdre,
Deirdre, Des,
Dev, Betty,
Emily, Rita,
Jack and Vera.
Mavis.
Jack and
Mavis was still
Mavis
there.
was there. Jack and Vera were there.
And the lovely Sally. And Sally said on the podcast, who
Oh,
plays Sally, obviously
Sally,
one of the nicest people in the world. I mean, how can that you be that nice? And she said on this podcast that she was she, back in the, I mean, she joined, I suppose, Better Gone and stuff when you were there, and there were Pat Phoenix and stuff. And she said that it was quite weird because people had their own seats in the dressing room, in the green room. It was quite, not that it was high
Oh,
rolled in a
that's
horrible
funny.
way, but it was very kind of like, you know, they were the matriarchs.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Sally, it was amazing. I would, in my first kind of year there, Sally would always say, "Oh, I saw you last night," because you could watch the scene being taped, like I said, in the green room. I'd come out and she said, "Oh, Todd, that was so good." And I thought, my God, she was just, I reminded her of that last time I was on it. She was just incredibly kind and
I
supportive
know
to me.
she's so like
She's like, yeah, just amazing. I mean,
she's so
she had
good as
no
she's so
reason
good
to,
as well.
and she's so good.
So were you welcomed in nicely? Was it, I mean, what's it like? Because again, it's as an actor, I mean, a lot of jobs you do, you would go in and it's a new show, you're all there, fresh, rehearsing. This, as we said, when you join a long-running series, and this is a long-running series, the longest running in the world, does it kind of put a different kind of pressure on you?
I think it does. There was Alfie, wasn't there? Brian was there.
Yeah.
Because I was anchored with Sue Nichols and with Helen Worth, I was just insulated and just loved from the start. And we just got on so well that I was instantly and I had a lot to do with Amanda Barry.
Yes, because
And so I
Alma
was
became
just
obsessed by Stephen, didn't she?
Yeah, that she did. Yeah, so we just they were just like these three women who just took me under their wings, and they said, "Listen, I remember someone wanted to take me to lunch on my first. He shall remain nameless, but it is a he wanted to take me to lunch on my first couple of days there." And Sue and Amanda Barry and Helen said, "Don't you say a word to him because he's going to listen. He's going to run." He might even have a tape recorder. They said, "Do not say a word to him about anything you don't want to discuss because he'll leak it." And I said,
Right,
"Oh my God."
okay,
So
yeah.
they were just brilliant. They just had my back and they were fantastic. So I felt, really cushioned by them and just generally
Yeah.
everyone was gorgeous.
That's a
And
lovely story. What could you want more than being cushioned by Sue Nichols, Helen?
right?
Yeah,
And
and Amanda.
Amanda, and very sweetly, Helen said, she said, "I hid in my dressing room for the first 3 years. I was too frightened to go into the green room." So, to be instantly kind of, these people who understand. And I came in with a kind of a different accent. And that was kind of, you feel a little bit like, oh, I'm really a bit of a fish out of water here. And,
Especially
but
back then,
we,
actually, because it was, I remember again, I can't remember who it was on this show, said, especially in the early years, you know, it was very Manchester-based accents. You know, nowadays it's from everywhere, but
exactly.
it was rare to have someone with a different accent.
It's true, isn't it? And we had a company cricket game, which was so gorgeous, one early evening. And Sarah Lancashire said to me, she said, "Don't you ever apologize for your different accent." She said, "It's good for the show." And it's because we overlapped. She was leaving and I was arriving. We overlapped by about 2 or 3 months. And she said, and I just remember her saying, "Don't you dare pull back on that accent." She said, "It's good for the show." She's so amazing and so intelligent.
Yes.
And just, it's even when I came back, 10 years later, and then now 17 years later, my last visit, I thought, you've just got to, it's not the accent that I personally have, but it's that's the character, and you've got to commit to it and be that character. The instinct is with so many actors is to blend, isn't it? You kind of think, oh, I don't really want to put my head above the parapet. Sometimes I'm joining a long running, Mancunian institution, and
Yeah. And I mean, you said so you, I mean, you weren't there, you joined for a short stint, you kept going back and forth to Canada. the character, which I love the fact because it meant that other characters could easily have breaks. I know Adam Ricketts.
That's it. Wasn't great. Yeah,
Adam Ricketts nicked one a few times, and even
perfect.
Richard Hillman, the previous killer, took Gale to stay with
it.
You.
That's it. Amazing. It must have rubbed off.
Yes.
With Ben Price, I returned this time, and Ben and I hadn't. I think Ben joined straight after my last.
You knew the other
second
name.
Appearance. So I did. So it was very funny because Ben said, "You know, Uncle Stephen, you know, watch out for Uncle Stephen." And I said, "Listen, we are mates. You stayed in Canada with me, and
yes.
You probably learned a lot about business from me." And he said, "Wow." He said, "I didn't even realize that." I said, "Yeah." I said, "No, we're tight buddies. We've got a you came
yeah,
to
I mean,
me in
the
Canada."
The offset stories, I mean, the off screen stories must have. I can imagine Stephen and Richard Hillman sat with a whiskey one night. Maybe that's where things went wrong.
That's a great idea. I love that. Yeah.
And you said you appeared back in 2007, 2022. I mean, what was the thinking? That was it your choice not to stay long term, or was it a story thing that they just loved Stephen coming in back and forth?
I think they just liked the idea of me coming in. I was interestingly, I would have stayed, but I'm glad I was asked not to, because it's so, I mean, even this last visit, it's such a gorgeous lifestyle in a sense. I mean, it is relentless. It's, you know, you know all this,
yeah.
You know what it's like. These actors, I mean, I was learning, once they found out I could learn lines and a lot of lines quickly, I mean, I practically never dropped a word because I just, without being voodooish about it, you know, there's like a photographic memory that comes into play, which is
yes.
useful. And you know how you trick yourself and you remember the first consonant of if there's a list of words, if you just remember the first consonant of each word, then you'll be able to remember quite a difficult sentence of words. And so I was on 3 6-month contracts, was my availability was for a year and a half. Just in case, you know, I couldn't chew gum and walk at the same time anymore, you know, but Ian McLeod was just gorgeous. I mean, I sent him an email a month in and I said, "I'm just having a ball with it." And he said, "We're just having a ball with it." And so
were you excited when you heard the journey he was going to go on?
I tell you, we did a Zoom meeting. I joined in the very start of May, 2021, was it? And, Ian wanted to do a Zoom meeting about 3 months before that. And I sat down and he said, "Now listen, Stephen's going to kill someone." And I think the blood just drained from my face. I thought, wow, that is really heavy. You know what I mean? But I just thought he might come back and get involved with the factory and do his normal business stuff. And then Ian sort of said, and then he kind of kills someone else because he's got to cover up the person. I said, what? So then I arrived in the green room in May, and it was you know, Ian being kindly telling me what was in store for the character, obviously. And I arrived in the green room, and everyone said, "So you're the new serial killer, are you?" You know, so I said, "Oh, I guess I am." So I said, Ian, am I a serial killer?" He said, "Well, that was me. I was naughty. I was standing in the green room one morning, and I said, 'We've got a new serial killer arriving.'" He said, it put everyone on their toes, of course, thinking, you know, am I next? You know,
yeah,
who's,
here we
who's
go.
Who's he going to kill?
And for those who missed it,
here we go. I better.
I'm sure no one did miss the story, and it was the long and short of it. I'll try to kind of make it quick. But in September 2002, Stephen accidentally killed Jenny Connor's boyfriend, Leo. In January, Leo's father, Teddy, regains his memory. So he becomes suspicious of Stephen. Stephen hits Teddy over the head with a hole punch, killing him. He later kills business rival Rufus by drugging him and drowning him in his own pool. Tim Metcalf got off. He was nearly left for dead. And were there any more?
He escaped, yeah.
I think that
I had a little go at it, poor old Elaine, Paula Wilcox.
Paula Wilcox. I worked with her in Emmerdale, yes.
Did you? I replaced her, I think I replaced her blood pressure tablets with caffeine tablets, which wouldn't be very good for the system. So she passed out and ended up in hospital, but I didn't quite finish her off. So, yeah.
And then he met his demise by being run over by a taxi by Peter Barlow, no less.
That's it. Exactly.
And
no
that
less.
Was it. leaving, I mean, poor Audrey left heartbroken. But I mean, a lovely, I mean, again, it's kind of a what a fantastic ride to go on to see Stephen out. Were you sad to say goodbye? Because I suppose it's a lovely job to have to keep coming back to, isn't it?
It is. Because it was such a, I mean, it was so impactful and it was so wonderful. It was so wonderful to play that amount. I mean, I think I broke the record for the number of episodes filmed in a 12-month period.
Did you? Wow.
Yeah, 193 episodes. And I think Gary Windass's character was 163 is the next behind me. So I really, I mean, honest to God, you know, Helen and Sue and Ali King, who I just absolutely adore, said, you know, you need to find a beach after this, because, you know, because I was just, I was on the ropes, you know. It was a really, it was a, you appreciate 193 episodes and busy episodes, not just,
yes,
you know.
Yeah, not just, ordering a pint in the pub.
Yes, exactly. So I, you know, so because it was so great, kind of impactful, kind of thing to do, I thought, yeah, you know, that I'm happy to finish this. I mean, I did have the very odd scene, which wasn't about me, you know, and I was kind of like, oh God, this is a little bit boring. I want it to be about Stephen, you know. So I became very spoiled and kind of greedy for kind of, you know, things to do, and I was certainly given them. So.
Yeah, and what was the reaction like? I mean, as we know, the audience now on social media are very instant with that. Did you get kind of a lot of? I mean, playing a baddie, obviously, you probably got. Did you? Get
oh
much,
my god!
Did you get much abuse?
Detested. I mean, I glanced at it a few times. Just hated, and you know, because he had a different accent, I was sort of othered and like, who is this? What's the, you know? And a lot of people didn't realize that he'd been in the show before and had come from Canada and was adopted out, and the neighbors had moved to Canada and taken him with them. So they just thought, who is this Yank, Canadian actually, who's just destroying our TV show? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was, yeah. And then I decided I better not look at it.
But, yeah, did you? I mean, did you have old women in the supermarket kind of go a bit kind of taking step backs?
God, I had to ask someone. Someone stocking shelves, this woman, she was probably in her 50s, where something was, and she turned and she absolutely went pale. She went, oh, I don't like you. I said, and then she felt bad about it as we were wandering the aisles to find what I was looking for. She said, I suppose someone's got to be bad. I mean, you're a good actor. But she really didn't like, she did not like me. There's no question about that. But Verity McLeod and Ian, we were in the canteen one day, and they said, listen, it's a formula. They hate the villain. Then they get a kind of whisper that the villain's going to go. Then they start to like the villain. Then they like the villain. Then you take the villain away, and they go, "Oh, well, we liked him. Yeah, we liked him." You know?
Yeah.
So, and that truly is what happened online as well. I mean, just so much gorgeous, kind of a huge turnaround from really detesting. To actually, you know, really, really kind and loving and
well, it's
praising,
which is a testament to how you played him. I mean, and how do you feel? I mean, I love soap and where it's gone. I do kind of miss, I've said this before on here, I do kind of miss the old days of character led stuff, you know, and it's wondering where soap will go, because I often feel now that soap is competing with a lot of other dramas that have got probably more money to do stuff, and whether soap should go back to being a bit more kitchen sink drama. I mean, what do you think?
It is interesting, isn't it? I mean, for Stephen Reed's demise, for that Super Soap Week, Ian McLeod said, listen, this is going to be character-led. It's going to require acting and not a plane falling out of the sky or a tram coming off the... And so that was great. And he said, this is really what we want to do with this Super Soap Week. And it's right. And I agree with you, Lee. I mean, you know, you don't have the budget to really make that stuff sometimes as good as it could be in a blockbuster Hollywood film.
Yeah.
So you're trying to, you know, and then the train or the plane is doing the acting or the, you know. And so I was thrilled at that. And it was more like there was a lot of kind of Hitchcock influence in all of the stuff that they wrote for Stephen Reed. You know, like sinking the roof box was very much like Psycho sinking the car in the pond. So So it was suspenseful, and it was kind of that was what my Super Soap Week was about, and I was thrilled about that. And I agree with you. I love a bit of kitchen sink. I mean, I love films where actually nothing happens. You're just
Yes.
watching the characters, because
Well,
it's great to watch that.
I don't know whether you've seen, because the highest watched episode of Curry ever, I think it's 20. I had the on a quiz for someone last week that was on. I can't remember who it was.
Right.
26 point something million, and it was
Wow.
for Hilda Ogden's leaving. I watched it, and it was about a 15-minute scene in the pub with everyone there and just chatting, and it was like, this is what soap is. This is what we need a bit more of again, I think. Like just.
It's amazing. It's interesting, isn't it? How fantastic. Do you know, also though, I someone posted on, I think on Twitter, that there was a kind of letter to the editor of probably the Manchester Evening News in the early 60s, which said, what have they done to our soap? It's all this, and it was all this. It was really sort of complaining about the violence, and it used to be,
Right.
and
Yeah.
that's what you get these days. So people hark back to some kind of fabled
Yes. Yeah.
time
It goes around
when
in
there was no.
circles, doesn't it,
Yeah,
really?
it does
It's.
go around. So I think there was a Vietnam vet at one point who held someone at gunpoint in the 60s. You know what I mean? So we do tend to remember the kitchen sink, and not in some type of ways we think, oh well, but it was always kind of, yeah, goes swings and roundabouts, doesn't it? But
Yes. Now, just to remind, just to so everyone knows some other bits and bobs you've done, and the little quiz we play sometimes, I'm just going to choose some random films and TV you've been in, and whether you can remember who you played, Stephen.
Oh my goodness.
Not many people can.
Cruel.
Can you remember who you played in? Let's go back to one of your first film roles in 1984. I Can't Get Started.
I think that character as well was maybe called Kyle.
Oh no, yeah, Anthony. Kyle, I've got was in
Anthony.
Blue Ice.
Kyle was, I thought, yeah, Kyle. And then there was a Lyle you mentioned in
In the
another one.
Delinquents, yeah.
Yeah, that was blue. Yeah, can't get. Oh, that was Can't Get Started. Is that the one you're talking about?
One I Can't Get Started was Anthony. But I mean,
Okay,
that is
Anthony.
1985. That's a long time ago,
That's all
very
right.
early
That's
on
all
in your
right.
career.
I can live with that. Yeah.
Kick-Ass 2, you were in. What a film.
Take us to, yeah,
Who were you
great.
there? You were a position
I
role.
was the chief of police.
Yes, you were. Yes. Well
There we
done.
go. Yeah.
Let's have another one. 2017, Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes, I was the judge.
Yes. The
Yeah,
King's Man. What a film in 2021.
that was because I did Kick Ass. I was cast in The King's Man, which is great. I mean, that Chris Vaughan was Matthew Vaughan was very loyal and liked me a lot in Kick Ass. And yeah, now who did I play in that? I played
Very posh name.
DuPont,
Yes, DuPont.
but I forget
Alfred
his yeah, I forget
DuPont.
his. Alfred I. DuPont, I think it was.
Alfred
Yeah.
DuPont,
Yeah.
yes. And then a couple of
That
TV.
was,
Oh, go on, sorry.
yeah. That was, I was, I had to, I had to, I got in a rickety old, did you catch that film? I got in a
Yes, I did,
rickety old
yes.
sort of like, yeah, lift system that was all done with, vines and ropes going up, scaling up the hut to the baddie's lair. And in real life, I had to be way high up in some crane that they had on the back lot of Long Cross Studios, and they said, "Can you go higher?" And I said, "Yeah, it's all right." So the people got really small by the time they got me as high as they wanted to get me up. But
It's an
I was
amazing
in a good
film, isn't it? The
secure
trick.
harness. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, and I'm
The
not
tr
crazy about heights, but for some reason, I felt safe.
Yeah,
Yeah.
when
So
you're on a big
next one,
film set, you
tell
probably get that
me.
bit of you get a hero-ness kick in, and you think, yes, I'm gonna prove my worth.
Yeah, I could do this.
I can do
That's it.
this.
I've got a good harness, good security around me. So yeah.
And a few TV
Definitely.
roles. Let's see if you can remember any of these.
Yeah.
As I said, you're
Good,
doing very
good,
well.
good.
You're doing very well because a lot of people don't remember any of that. It's like scripts, isn't it? Once you've learned it, it goes, and it's kind of like part.
That's it. Oh my God, I can tell you about that.
Okay, 1987. Let's have a look. Fields of Fire.
Ooh, I certainly know that one. Bluey.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
1993, The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Now, this could be another Kyle or Lyle, or I could be completely wrong. And I've got just Kyles and Lyles on the
You've got Charles
brain.
and Lyles, yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, it's...
no, hold it, hold on. Is it Derek? Is it
Oh, so close. Yeah. I suppose.
Dexter? Dexter?
Yes, Dex. Way.
Woo! Dex! Dex! Got it.
There we go.
Yeah, that
I
was fun.
don't think,
That
looking back at your list, I don't think you played any more Kyle and Lyles. I think you've only
was
played
big.
a Kyle and Lyle
I just think
once, but
every
you think you've played
once
them
I'm just.
lots.
It's all I remember about my whole career is
Yes.
that.
Let's have a look at another one. And the Restless Years. I mean, 780 episodes it said you did of the Restless Years. Is that right?
Yeah, that's mad.
Wow.
I think that must have been. I did a full year on it,
Yeah, you
just on,
couldn't have
like I
done
said,
that
the
many,
two.
surely.
But no, I
That's
would never have done that many. But yeah, that's
maybe how long it went on. I was going to say that's
I'd still be doing it. Yeah, I'd still
you'd
be
be breaking records around the world if you did that
I'd
many
be showing
episodes
him
in a
around the world.
year.
Yeah. Yeah. Now
Who did you
that was
play?
Mark Peterson.
Yes, that's right. I've got Mark Patterson. I don't know whether that I don't know which
I think they messed it
they've got
up.
it right. There we
Yeah,
go. And let's have a look. In Hostile Waters in 1997, a television film, I think this was.
God, could it be Mason?
No, Larry Brock.
Larry Brock. It's
Larry
all coming
Brock.
back to me, all
I
coming
know,
back
isn't
to
it
me
brilliant?
now.
I love this game. People go,
Yeah,
oh yes, I
it's
remember.
great. Yes, I remember.
In 2001, I mean, this is one episode, so this is a tough one as well. MacReady and Daughter.
Ooh, that was just Patsy Palmer.
Oh, of course, that was her series, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. No, I can't dig
No.
that one out
Paul
of the
Nye.
brain.
Paul Nye.
Okay, yeah, I never
Yeah.
would have got that.
Never would have got that.
I mean, I loved doing it. It was great fun, but I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember
Yeah,
the
she's
character's
brilliant. I
name.
forgot she did that, actually. I forgot she did that. I forgot she did that show. In 2012, you're in the amazing Sherlock. Can you remember who you were? Yes.
Nielsen.
Yes. Very
Yeah.
good. Right. I'll only do one
Yeah.
more. I'm just obsessed because you're so good at this.
You
Normally,
love this.
no one gets anything. And
That's amazing.
in 2013, you're in Mr. Selfridge. Do you know who you played in Mr. I'm trying to challenge you here and trying to make you get it wrong.
Yeah.
And one episode you did again, so again,
Yeah, no,
incredible
I
to
remember
remember.
doing it really well. I was playing like a soothsayer, kind of a, I've held a seance.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna know it when you say it. I can't
You were
remember.
Mr. Krennel.
Krennel. I wanted to say Kranich. There
Oh,
we
well,
go.
near. Well, you
Yeah,
were
it was close. I
hands
should
down, Todd. You were the winner of that quiz
have.
ever on the
Yay!
podcast. Let's get to the
Yay!
theatre show, though. Sleuth, which you are
Okay.
touring with at the moment. You're currently in Torquay as we speak. Now, by the time
Yeah.
this episode goes out, I'm going to mention the ones you can still catch in the UK. And I think there might be more after this. So let me whiz through them. 4th of March in Eastbourne. The week of,
Yeah.
by the way, not just the 4th of March, everyone down in Eastbourne. Lovely. I come from near there. Gorgeous place. 13th of March,
Lovely.
Bradford, near me now. So I'll definitely come and see you and Neil.
Great. Oh, great.
Yeah, I'll
Brilliant.
definitely come. Great at the Alhambra
Oh,
Theatre in
brilliant.
Bradford.
Can't wait.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Yeah,
25th of
brilliant.
March, the week of 25th of March, Westcliff-on-Sea. 8th of April, Malvern. 16th of April, Cheltenham. And 22nd of April, Guildford. So tell
Yeah.
me, and you start with
And then
Neil.
we've got Richmond after that
Oh,
and
you've got
Dartford. So yeah,
Richmond
just so yeah,
after that.
Richmond for Londoners and Dartford. Yeah.
So loads
Yeah.
of places for
Great.
you to go and see it. Yeah, I can't wait
Yeah,
to see you.
yeah.
Now, and you're with Neil
Oh,
McDermott, like
good.
I said, who played Ryan in EastEnders, as well as loads of other things. He's like
Yeah.
Pretty Woman in the West End and
Yeah.
lots of things. Great guy. Tell us what
Yes.
you can about the show.
Well, I play this sort of world famous detective story author. And it's set in my big pile in Wiltshire, my big manor house in Wiltshire. And I invite Neil's character, Milo Tyndall. My name's Andrew Wyke. I invite Milo Tyndall over to have a drink and have a little chat because my wife is out of town. She's up north visiting relatives. And we have a few niceties, and I say, let me get you a drink. What will you have? And I'm starting to make him a drink. And I say, I understand you want to marry my wife. And he's having an affair with my wife. I know about this affair. And I sort of act like I'm okay with it because I'm having an affair myself, and I'm not averse to him taking her off my hands. But I say, listen, you need money to do that because she's high maintenance and she's very expensive. And I set about a sort of money-making scheme whereby we'll both benefit and he can take my wife off of my hands, which I'm sort of telling him is okay. Whether it's not okay, we'll find out. And that's the premise of it. And yeah, it was done by Laurence Olivier and Michael Caine in the 1972 film, which it was shown on Broadway initially in 1970 and then came to the West End, ran 12 years.
Oh, I've seen the West film. End I've seen the film. Yes.
Yeah. It's such a good film. And it's so wonderful to play in it's you know, set in 1970, and it's, the set is beautiful. It's just this big, big, beautiful manor house in Wiltshire, and the set is extraordinary and the costumes are great, and Neil and I are just out of this world. we've been getting reviews that we said we couldn't have written them better ourselves. So
amazing.
It's landing really well, and we're thrilled. And in each of the three venues we've played so far, I mean, Lee, the reviews have just been raves, which is really gratifying. And it's going down well, and the audiences are loving it. And there's people standing up, and there's a lot of people coming up to us in the streets and saying, "Oh my God, I saw you last night." And it feels really hot and really, really like we're doing something that's really being really well accepted. So it's hugely gratifying.
And did you say you only had 3 weeks of rehearsals?
I did. And, we did. And like you say, you know, with soap learning,
I mean, yeah, 3 weeks is quite a joy. But I suppose it is a whole play, which is a two hour play in 3 hours.
It's vast. It's vast. And like my brain was dumping. I would learn a scene, and then, like in soap, as you know, Lee, you get rid of it because you need more storage for the next scene you've got to learn. So we'd get to the beginning of the play after sort of blocking through it over a 10-day period, and we'd get back to the first scene. I thought, I don't know this anymore. My brain was doing that soap thing, which was just get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think any soap actor will tell you, as you know, if you had to film a scene that you filmed in the morning in the afternoon because there was a continuity mistake, the actor would say, "I really don't know that scene anymore. I've got to kind of quickly relearn it." Yeah. So that was not good for my 3 week rehearsal period. I soon kind of figured out what was going on, and I had to work extra hard to, here I was thinking I had the best memory for lines in the world, but it was geared to a different kind of learning and excising program. Yeah. So, but no, the lines are well and truly under the belt now, and it's a corker of a play for sure.
And do you still get nervous? I mean, so many people on this said yes. Do you still get nervous, kind of going on every night doing it?
Do you know the first audience after only about 3 weeks rehearsal was harrowing, you know, but you just steel yourself and you get through it, and then gradually since then we're pretty fairly relaxed going on. It's just a joy to do, and now that the lines are solid and
the
lines
lovely, are at our fingertips, isn't it? What a lovely place
to
be.
That's it you just start playing with it and enjoying it and listening to each other really, you know, easily and just responding. So yeah, but no, I do understand why people who've been on stage for their entire lives suddenly go, "No, I can't do it anymore. Stage fright has overtaken me, and I'm never going to do it again." Because, you know, like our first audience in Windsor on a Wednesday night was just, I just thought, why do I do this to myself? But once you get on and you get into the action and bouncing, Neil and I bouncing off each other, you soon, the nerves go and you're suddenly playing, you know, it's great. Yeah.
And how do you unwind like after a slow show like Sleuth? Because I know my friends at the West End, I mean, that's the weirdest. People think, you know, well, sometimes you're doing matinees anyway, so you're doing more than one show, but
Definitely.
You're on such a high, aren't you? The buzz, the adrenaline after a stage show, and then it's late. What's your way of unwinding and getting some sleep?
Do you know, this is a kind of coming down. We're finishing about 9:30, so I've been wandering, getting back to wherever I'm staying. Pour myself a single malt whiskey and kind of just watch the news and Newsnight, and kind of I can get to bed pretty early-ish because it's nice not to finish at say 10:30 where you're probably staying up till 1 o'clock at 1 a.m. because you, so yeah, it doesn't rev me up. I feel quite sleepy after it and tired.
Oh, right. Lovely. Oh, so perfect.
It's nice, perfect. But it's not that. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Because you, as we know, some plays just you know, you're just your brain is just firing, and you can't kind of go to bed, you know. So this seems to be
This is
not one of
perfect.
those, which I'm grateful for. Yeah.
Well, everyone can go and see that. Like we said, there's Eastbourne, there's Bradford, Westcliff on Sea, Malvern, Cheltenham, Guildford, Richmond, and Dartford. So go and book your tickets. Todd, it's been a
Brilliant.
pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you so
Lee,
much for
great
coming
to talk to
on.
you. Yeah,
And
great to
I
talk to
will
you.
come and see, I'll give you both a message, and I will come and see you that
Oh,
week in
genius. Can't
Bradford. That would be
wait.
amazing.
Stunning. Great,
Well, listen,
Lee.
let's hope we, our
Fantastic.
paths cross, we work together at some point soon. But thank you
I
for
hope
coming on.
so. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much to Todd, and make sure you go and see him and Neil in Sleuth if they're in a theatre near you. I will be back on Monday with a very special bonus episode of Soap from the Box, featuring a star of one of the biggest shows on TV at the moment, plus another soap star next week. Have a great weekend. Speak to you then.